If you have your Bible with you this evening, we're turning in God's Word to the first book of Kings. We're turning to 1 Kings in chapter 21. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, I'd like to thank Dr. Allison and his session, first of all, for the invitation to come and preach over this weekend. I'd like to thank him for his words of welcome. It's always a joy to come down to Malvern and to renew fellowship with those that we've had fellowship with over the years. And I'm glad that some folk from our church in Port Hope are listening in, and I'll be in trouble if I don't mention Mrs. Brown. Dr. Allison knows who she is, a wee woman from Glasgow, and if I didn't mention her name, well, I'll be in for it when I get home. So I've mentioned her name, and that will keep me right with her and keep me in her good books. And so it's a joy to be here, and we trust the Lord will meet with us tonight and tomorrow night and over this weekend. And do your best to invite others along to the services. And who knows, maybe that person you invite is the person whom God will save. And my, not only will they be rejoicing, but you'll be rejoicing also that God has used you to bring a soul to the Lord. So we're looking forward to the weekend, and we trust God will visit us in a mighty way. So we're turning to 1 Kings chapter 21. And I'd like us to begin reading at verse 17. We'll read just a few verses there and then pick up our reading again at verse 25. So we're at 1 Kings chapter 21, and we'll begin at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And I shall speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed, and also taken possession? And I shall speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even mine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own infallible and inerrant word. Now before we consider the Lord's word for the meeting tonight, let us unite together in prayer and would ask every child of God to earnestly pray now the Spirit of the Lord will work amongst us here this evening. We need the power of the Spirit. And let us pray to that end even now. Let us seek the Lord. Eternal Father and loving God, we bless Thee for the opportunity we have this evening of preaching the gospel of saving grace. And Lord, we bless Thee and give Thee thanks for the opportunity that has been given to men and women and young people to hear the gospel. And, oh Lord, we know there are many in this world, and they never have heard the gospel, and they never will. But our gracious God, we thank Thee for the privilege and the opportunity given to souls here this evening to hear the gospel and be given an opportunity to seek Christ. Lord, come amongst us tonight, we pray. I ask, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, I might be enabled to preach the Word. And in preaching the Word, I might preach it with all sincerity and honesty. And in preaching the Word, Lord, help me to preach Christ. Save the lost this evening. For we ask these things in the Savior's name and for His eternal glory. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 21, and the words of verse 19. And thou shalt speak unto him, that is Elijah unto Ahab, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Be sure your sin will find you out. Those words could easily have been written above the entrance to the vineyard that belonged to Naboth, when Ahab went there to take possession of it. For you see, he had coveted that vineyard, and covetousness is a sin in the eyes of God. And you see, Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. He had prepared to take what didn't belong to him. He stole that vineyard. Stealing is a sin. Ahab, you can be sure your sin will find you out. He was prepared to transgress the law of God because it was forbidden for Naboth to either sell or exchange his vineyard. It had been given to him by the Lord. But what did Ahab care about the law of God? Ahab transgressed the law of God, and the transgression of God's law is a sin. And Ahab, be sure your sin will find you out. He was prepared to do something else. He was prepared to go even further than he'd ever gone before. He was prepared to let Naboth, the owner of the vineyard, be murdered. Ahab had the blood of Naboth on his own hands. Murder is a sin against God and against heaven. And Ahab, you can be sure that your sin will find you out.
And so as the body of Naboth lay at the gates of Jezreel, having been stoned to death for a crime that he did not commit, we read that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it, verse 16. And the moment that Ahab took possession of that vineyard, let me tell you something, Ahab sealed his hopeless doom. It was as if Ahab had crossed the deadline at last. He had crossed the point of no return. As the Niagara River flows down to Niagara Falls, a few hundred yards up from the falls, there's a sign positioned there in the middle of the river. And on that sign is written the words, "The point of no return." And if anyone was to go down the river in a boat, once they pass that line, they cannot get back. Ahab had crossed the point of no return. He had sealed his hopeless doom. His sin would find him out. Or, as a well-known American preacher, Dr. Robert G. Lee, said of this passage, "For Ahab, it would be payday someday. Payday someday. It would be payday someday for Ahab, king of Israel. He would pay someday in death, and he would go on paying throughout eternity. He would go on paying throughout the countless ages of eternity, but he would never clear that debt. For he committed the terrible crime for which he never sought or found forgiveness. And it was Elijah's task. It was Elijah's task to go and speak to him about his sin and his crime. Just as it is my task this evening. And I want to say this, it's a God-given task. It is my task this evening to speak to you about your sin. And about the consequences of your sin. It is my task this evening to tell you whatever sin you've committed, your sin will find you out. And I'm here to warn you that for you, my friend, except you repent and be converted and be washed in the blood of Christ, it will be payday someday. And you will have reached the point of no return. And I would exhort you this evening, as God has given you the opportunity to get right with Him and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would plead with you this evening, get right with God before you cross and pass the point of no return. Let's look at Ahab. Let us look at Ahab and consider the similarities between the life of Ahab and your life. For the parallels are many. Let us consider the character of his crime. Elijah the prophet did not hold back when he delivered this message from God to Ahab. And he told old Ahab, "Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood even thine." And then he went on to say, in verse 20, "I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." What had he done? He had his part in the murder of Naboth, so that he could take Naboth's vineyard. That was, first of all, a heinous crime. All sin, of course, can be described as heinous. But this was particularly so because it involved the slaying and the murder of an innocent man. A good man, a godly man. When Naboth refused to sell his vineyard or exchange it for another, a plot was hatched against him and he was murdered so that the king could have his vineyard. A plot that was hatched by his wicked wife, Jezebel. There's no telling. My friend, there's no telling how low the depraved nature of man will take him. Let me ask you, how far down in sin has your depraved nature taken you? How low have you gone to satisfy the lusts and the cravings of your flesh? How far away from God have you gone? What sins have you committed? What crimes have you committed against high heaven? Let me tell you, your sin will find you out. As sure as you're in this meeting this evening, your sin will find you out. It will be payday someday for you. Except you repent of your sin and receive Christ, for he's your only hope. He's your only hope tonight. You miss Christ, you've missed heaven. If you miss Christ, you've missed salvation. And there is no entering into the kingdom of heaven without salvation through the blood of Christ. And here is Ahab, who sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Sold himself. He sold his soul that night for a vineyard. Can you imagine? He damned his own soul for the sake of a vineyard. Esau sold his soul, damned his soul for a mess of pottage. Judas sealed his hopeless doom. What for? 30 pieces of silver. Tell me, what are you going to damn your soul for? A handful of drugs? a bottle of whiskey, some other vice that you've been practicing for years? Let me tell you, my friend, it's not worth it. Whatever sin you've got yourself into, whatever you crave after, it's not worth it. And I'll tell you something else. If you go out of this meeting this evening, and you go on as you've been living in the past, and you die in your sin, let me say this, you'll remember this meeting. And you'll remember the words I've just said, it's not worth it. And throughout all the ages of eternity, you'll be saying, the preacher was right, it wasn't worth it. What are you going to do? You're going to take Christ tonight and save your soul? Are you going to take your sin and damn your soul? And I'm telling you the truth. And notice also that it was not only a heinous crime, it was a heartless crime. See how quickly Ahab responded to the news of Naboth's death? Jezebel came and said to her husband, you can take the vineyard now. And my, the blood had hardly stopped flowing in the veins of Naboth, and old Ahab was on his way to take possession of the vineyard. He had no heart. He had no conscience. And my friend, the man or the woman who has no heart and no conscience, there's very little hope for them. For 4.5 years I was chaplain of the Free Church in Mays Prison outside Belfast. I went there each Sabbath morning and Friday night for Bible class. Most of the men that came to the services were paramilitary. Many were there for murder. There was one gang of men who had been imprisoned. They were known as the Shankled Butchers. Two of that gang would go out at night. One would drive a black taxi. Took the seats out of the back of it. They'd go out at night and they would tear the streets and find someone walking along the street. They would stop and kidnap them, bring them into the back of the taxi and slit their throats. One of those men came to our services. He'd been convicted of 13 murders. 13 murders. You'd have said that man has no heart. You'd say that man has no conscience. And yet I remember one Friday night going in for the Bible class. And I was waiting for the other prisoners to come in. This particular man came up to me, tears streaming down his cheeks. He says, Reggie, my granddaughter is dying. Would you pray for her? I said, Bobby, I'll do more than that. I'll go and visit her. She was in the Royal Victoria Hospital. And I went to visit that child, and the child lived. That was on Friday. And Monday I received a phone call to go to another prison in Belfast. Miss Fallibobi had requested to see me, and I went in, and I could hear his voice. I could hear him coming along the corridor and into the waiting room. And the change in that man was, for me, just unbelievable. You see, that weekend he had accepted Christ as a Savior. He got saved. And that Friday night, as I saw him standing there crying like a child, I thought to myself, that man has a heart. It's not so much a heart of stone after all. And he had a conscience. And praise God, there was salvation for that man. And he got saved. And all the crimes he ever committed, praise God, they were all put under the blood of Christ. Never to be remembered against him anymore forever. Now you sit in this meeting tonight and hear the gospel. Be told about your sin. Be warned about the consequences of your sin. You go out of this meeting this night rejecting Jesus Christ. It is a sign you don't have a heart. Do you not have a conscience? Friend, are you not troubled about the things that you've done? Another man I knew when I was a minister of Newton Abbey over in Ulster. This particular gentleman had committed a murder, taking another man's life. It appeared on the surface at least that he was getting away with it. He was never questioned. He was never investigated. Priest didn't know it was him. Didn't know he was the young man with blood on his hands. And he came to me one day and he says, I have to go and give myself up. He says, I can't live with my conscience. He couldn't live with his conscience. And he got saved. See, there was hope for him. Do you have a conscience tonight? You never troubled about what you've done? The grief you've caused, the hurt you've inflicted upon those who love you most? Have you not a conscience about how you've broken their hearts? If tonight there is the slightest tinge of a conscience, I beg you this evening to act upon it. And say tonight, preacher, you're right. I need the Lord. It appeared that old Ahab just didn't have a conscience. I see also that it was a hidden crime. That is, the planning behind the slaying of Naboth was carried out behind closed doors. When old Ahab went and told his wife Jezebel, oh, Naboth will not give me his vineyard. You're like a pouting child. And she said, I'll get it for you. And she plotted the death of Naboth behind closed doors. How many heinous crimes have been planned and executed behind closed doors under the cover of darkness? See, it's true. It's true what the Bible says. It's true that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And I venture to say this evening that some of the deeds that you've committed, as it were, under the cover of darkness or somewhere in secret, you wouldn't like anybody to know about tonight. You would be ashamed. If the people beside you, maybe your mother or your father or husband and wife, if they knew what you had done, you'd be ashamed. You'd be ashamed. Because you know what you've done has been wicked. But let me tell you, you can be sure your sin will find you out. It'll not always lay covered. It'll not always be hidden. I can guarantee that. On the authority of this book, your sin will find you out. Achan stole the Babylonian garment, hid it in his tent, thought nobody saw. His sin found him out. Moses one day saw an Egyptian afflicting a Hebrew. Moses went over and slew the Egyptian. And he looked this way and that, dug a hole and hid the body in the sand. He thought nobody had seen him. But the next day, another Egyptian said, "Are you going to do to me what you did to that man yesterday?" You see, his sin was found out. David coveted another man's wife, put him in the heat of the battle, knowing that he would be killed there, and then he could claim the man's wife. And he thought nobody knew. It was the perfect plan. And he thought nobody would know anything about it until God spoke to Nathan one day and told him to go and speak to David. And he went and he said to David, "Thou art the man." And David was ashamed. His sin had found him out. Tell me, my friend, what have you done in secret? What are you hiding tonight? What are you hiding from your wife or your husband? What are you hiding from your children? What are you hiding from your mother or father? What are you hiding? You wouldn't want them to know, sure you wouldn't. Someday your sin will be dragged out into the open. And you'll be found out. You'll be found out. It will indeed be payday someday. I notice regarding this crime, the certainty about the crime. We've just spoken about Ahab's secret and hidden crime. But while it may have been hidden from the eyes of men, my friend, you should know, the eyes of God are open all the time. And while Ahab may have looked this way and that, as it were,
He forgot to look up. God saw what he did. And it was then that he sent Elijah with the message. And the message was, Ahab, you've sold yourself to sin. And where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, those same dogs will lick your blood. You'll be found out. And you'll suffer the consequences. Consider the observance of the crime. Elijah did not receive any communication from the Lord until after the deed was committed. The Lord had been observing everything. He had seen all and he had heard all. Nothing was hidden from his all-seeing eyes. And those sins committed under the cover of darkness are seen and known by God. Listen to what David said. David, king of Israel, said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Didn't matter what he did. Didn't matter where he did it. My sins are not hid from thee. And again in one of his psalms he said, Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. Doesn't matter if it's dark or not. Doesn't matter if you did things under the cover of darkness. You see, the night and the day are both alike to God. He knows everything. And the point is this. God is the one with whom you have to do. You see, you'll meet God one day. Now you might say, I don't believe there's a God. Doesn't matter what you believe. There's still a God. Somebody can say, I don't believe there's a sun in the sky. Doesn't make any difference. The sun's still there. You might say, I don't believe in the day of judgment. Doesn't matter what you believe about those things. There's still a God. And there's still a day of judgment that's coming. And all your sins, all your actions, your crimes, your wickedness, your iniquities, the sins that you thought were hidden, when unnoticed, when unseen, have been observed by God. You have to deal with God. Oh, no, it's not the preacher you deal with. That's all I am tonight, a preacher, that's all. No, you have to deal with God. You'll stand before Him one day. You'll be examined how you lived your life. And all those sins, aren't they welcome? And you'll stand accused, and you'll be found guilty. And God will say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and as angels, I never knew you. That word never is emphatic. The word means never at any time that I know you. And here is Christ tonight in this service. And through the gospel message, he's saying to you, come. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and drink of the water of life freely. Come. Then if you don't come on that great day of judgment, it'll not be come that he'll be saying to you, he'll be saying depart. And you'll be doomed and damned forever. And I'm telling you the truth. And the people say, oh, you only try to scare people. Well, I tell you something, people ought to be scared. You ought to be scared. You ought to be scared out of your wits. Fires are burning, hell beneath your feet. You fall into it one day. And there is no escape. I remember reading Spurgeon on the subject of hell. And Spurgeon said he dreamed one night he was in hell. He was down there in a pit. And he looked to the right and there was a wall of fire. He looked to the left, there was a wall of fire. He looked behind him, there was a wall of fire. He looked in front of him, there was a wall of fire. And then he lifted his eyes up. And he saw words burning. And those words read, in hell forever. You ought to be scared. If you're not scared, there's something wrong. For I wouldn't like to be in your shoes tonight. I was once where you are this evening. I remember one night going to a tent mission and the preacher preached on hell. I wasn't saved at the time. And I went home. I'd gone with my mate and we laughed at the message. We laughed at the thought of a burning hell. But I went home that night and went to bed and I couldn't sleep all night. I was afraid. I was afraid to go to sleep lest I would waken up in hell. Lest I would die in my sleep. I was scared. I was scared. And you ought to be scared too. Because your sin will drag you down. And you'll join Ahab. And you'll join Esau. And you'll join Judas. And they may ask you, what did you sell your soul for? What will you tell them? I just couldn't give up the drink. I just couldn't give up my ungodly friends. I heard the preacher preach, but instead of choosing the Savior, I chose my sin.
And that'll haunt you. Haunt you. For all eternity. I beg you tonight, in the Savior's name, come to Christ. He's saying this evening, come. Now look at the offense. The Lord gave a word to Elijah to speak to Ahab. There in verses 17 and 18, and said, "Hast thou killed?" The word "killed" is the same word that we have in the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," or "Thou shalt not commit murder." And there Ahab stood before the word of God, condemned. God, as it were, was pointing his finger at Ahab and saying, "You are a murderer. You are a condemned man." Oh, he could have said, but I didn't kill Naboth. I didn't stone him. Well, let's look at it. First of all, he promoted the crime. He promoted the crime. Ahab was guilty because he encouraged what was done. He was guilty. He didn't prohibit the crime. He didn't stand in the way of Jezebel and say, "Oh no, don't do that." He was guilty. He profited from the crime. He received the vineyard. And he didn't do any punishing for the crime. He was guilty. Guilty. Guilty! Oh, he may have escaped the courts of the land. After all, he was king. But there was one court that he would never escape from. The judgment bar of God. And from that, there is no escape. Except the sinner make his or her way to Calvary. There's only one way of escape. And hallelujah, it's the cross. You've never been there. I plead with you, get to the cross tonight. Remember the point of no return. This could be it tonight. This could be it tonight. This could be your night of no return. You'd be lost forever. What Elijah said to Ahab was that the dogs would lick his blood. He would have the same dogs lick his blood that licked the blood of Naboth, the very man whose blood was on his hands. That was Ahab's outlook. That's what he had to look forward to. That's what was before him. He didn't have much to look forward to, did he? He was told he was going to die.
because of what he had done to Naboth. That's all he had to look forward to. Tell me, what have you to look forward to tonight? What is it that's ahead of you? You're going to die someday. And after death, the judgment. What have you to look forward to? What will your latter end be? The sinner's death? The sinner's shroud? A sinner's coffin? A sinner's funeral? A sinner's burial? And a sinner's hell. It's something to look forward to, isn't it? That's what awaited Ahab. And friend, you die without Christ, and you refuse to repent of your sin, and you refuse to come to the Savior and be washed in His blood and your sin removed. That's all you have to look forward to. And you die before you repent. And your family asks, Dr. Allison, would you conduct the funeral? What's he going to say? Dr. DeWitt Talmadge says there's no other time that he's tempted to tell lies than when he's conducting a funeral. He would like to say nice things about the person who has passed away. But he can't. What's Dr. Allison going to say at your funeral? Where will be the comfort for the people who you leave behind? I want you to think of that. If not for your sake, at least think of it for their sake. Pointed unto men wants to die after this, the judgment, but that's not all. For Paul also said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you know, people have this silly notion that God is some kind of a grandfatherly figure sitting up there, some kind of Santa Claus. And he's just sort of there when you need him. You just go on and live as you please. When things are going well. Listen! Friend, sit up and listen tonight. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful thing. And you go on the way you're going and you'll fall into the hands of the living God. And I'll tell you something. He'll cast you out of His sight forever for refusing His Son. God is jealous for His Son. His Son He gave to die for sinners like you. His Son suffered on the cross. He turned away from His Son because of the sins that had been laid upon him. And the Son cried to heaven, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ did all of that. And you go out tonight without Christ and you insult God and you insult the Savior and you trample underfoot all that He's done for sinners. It is, and it will be for you, a fearful thing. Fall into the hands of the living God. The living God. Consider the consternation over his crime, and with this we'll finish. The word from the prophet had some effect upon Ahab. You look there in verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. Old Ahab, after Elijah had spoken the word of God to him, felt his guilt. He felt some guilt over what had taken place. And in response, he behaved like a man who was truly sorry about what had happened. But there's something here I want you to notice. Yes, it says that he rent his clothes. It says he put on sackcloth, the garments of mourning. Sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. There's something missing there. There's something missing. I don't see the word repentance there. It's not there. Do you know why Ahab was sorry? Not so much because of what he had done. He was sorry because he had been found out. That's why. That's why he lay in sackcloth and ashes. But he never repented. Men who are arrested and found guilty of crimes they've done may feel sorry. But if they'd never been found out, they would just go on and do the same thing again. They're only sorry because they've been found out. Because their sin has been discovered. But you know, Ahab did something that men and women do today all the time. They feel sorry for what they've done. And maybe in a meeting like this, they come under conviction and they say to themselves, I need to do something about my life. I'll stop drinking. I'll stop smoking. I'll try and clean up my language. I'll try to reform my ways. Surely God will accept me then. No, he won't. No, he won't. It's repentance. Ahab could have lain for months in sackcloth and ashes. Wouldn't have saved him. wouldn't have saved them from the death that God promised him. Wouldn't have saved him from the dogs that would lick his blood. Wouldn't save him from the great white throne judgment. Wouldn't save him from falling into the hands of the living God. And my friend, let me tell you, you can attend the Free Presbyterian Church all your life. Free church will not save you. You can do whatever you want. Baptism won't save you. Confirmation won't save you. Church won't save you. Jesus will. Jesus will. Glory to his name. Doesn't matter what you've done. He'll save you. It's like John Elias, the great Welsh preacher, had a great burden for souls. And he preached one day about drunkenness. And he was preaching about the drunkards in the town. And he says, these men, these drunkards, nobody wants them. And he stood in the pulpit as if he was holding every drunkard in the town in his hand. And he said, you Presbyterians, do you want these drunkards? There was no answer. You Methodists, do you want these drunkards? No answer. He went through the whole list of the churches that practiced worship in his town at that time. He got no answer. And then he says, methinks I hear a voice below me. And that voice below him said, I'll take. Cast them down here. Elias said, I'm not going to cast them down here or down there. And then he heard another voice from above. It was a sweet voice. It was the voice of the Lord Jesus. And Elias said, and he heard that voice saying, I'll take them. And I'll wash them in my blood. And I'll change them. Nobody wanted the drunkards, but Jesus did. And he'll take you tonight as well. Whatever you've done, you're not guilty of murder. You didn't commit 13 murders. That man in the Maze prison did, but Jesus still took him. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's Ahab, and he's lying in sackcloth and ashes. He's wearing the symbols of grief. He was like old Felix, who upon hearing from Paul about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. There's Ahab, he's trembling, he's lying in the dust. There's Felix, and he's shaking. But you know something, that convenient day never came. Either for Ahab or for Felix. That convenient day has come for you now. What are you going to do?
The amazing thing here is the grace of God. You see, the Lord said in verse 29, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. But in his son's days will I bring the evil upon him." He was giving him a few more days of grace. You know what I believe? I believe that if Ahab had repented of his sin, God would have accepted him. God would have taken him. But he never got that far. And one day later, a number of days later, he was out in the battlefield. And a man and the enemy drew a bow at a venture. Just shot that arrow into a crowd. Lodged itself in the shoulder blades of Ahab. He fell down on his chariot, bleeding to death. And the dogs came and licked his blood. I tell you, my friend, God always keeps his word. That's grace. And God in grace is offering you tonight salvation through his Son. God is offering you freedom from your sin. God is offering you a place in glory. God is offering you a way of escape from a burning hell. And now that the meeting's nearly over, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I would like to say, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, has God spoken to your heart? First prayer you should offer now is a prayer of thanks, thanking God that he has spoken to you. Now, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You're going to be saved tonight. Praise God. You can go out of this building a new creature. You can go out tonight with your sins all forgiven. And a new life to start with. You can start tonight. Wonder, is there anyone in the service? You say, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die as Ahab died. Would you do something for me?" If you would like to be saved tonight and know Christ as your Savior, I wonder, wherever you are in this meeting, would you do something very simple for me? You'd like to be saved. I wonder where you sit. Would you just slip up your hand? When I see that hand, I'll acknowledge it and you can take it down. We're not going to call you up to the front or anything like that. But we'll see you quietly and privately after the meeting. Not embarrass you in any way. Will you come to Christ tonight? Just slip up your hand and I'll acknowledge it and then you take it down. Will you come tonight and will you come now? Anywhere in the meeting.
as those who love you are praying for you. To get to hell, you have to trample over their prayers. Will you not come now? Just slip up your hand. Our God and our gracious Father, Lord, we pray thou wilt take thy word. Take thine own word, Lord, and use it to bring conviction upon sinners and to lead them tonight to the cross of Calvary. For Lord, there are souls in this meeting now and they need to be saved. We hate to see them leave without Christ. Lord, they need to be saved. Lord, save them tonight. For Lord, we know that that point of no return will be passed someday. Oh God. Oh God, have mercy on sinners tonight. And save that young man or that young woman. Save that older person. Bring them tonight to the Savior. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your hymnal to hymn number 338. We just want to sing a couple of verses. Verses 1, 3, and 6. 338. And as when we finish singing this hymn, I'll ask Dr. Allison to come and close the meeting with prayer. 338, verses 1, 3, and 6. And we'll stand to sing.
closes in prayer. If God has spoken to anyone tonight and you didn't slip up your hand, well, praise God, that's not the end. Dr. Allison and myself and others will be at the door. Will you just say, preacher, I'd like to speak to you? That's all you have to say. And we'll go into a little room there and show you from the Word how you can be saved. Or maybe you came with somebody. Somebody invited you tonight. Will you ask them, will you stay behind with me? I want to talk to the preacher. I trust and pray that somebody will come home tonight.
Gracious Father, we come to Thee this night thanking Thee for the warning that has been sounded in our ears. Lord, we come to Thee thanking Thee that You yet hold out a scepter of grace and mercy. We ask, O God, that those here without Christ would come and find Him this night. This night they would find that refuge that removes sin. That they would find this night what it is to be welcomed into Thy family, to be home. Lord, we pray, bring them into Thy kingdom. Cause that they would seek Thee until they find Thee this night. Lord, we pray that as we would fellowship after this meeting, Lord, we pray that we would know Your help and Your presence. We give Thee thanks for the refreshments. Lord, our hearts give Thee thanks for the blood of Christ. We're thankful tonight that though we have earned a hell and a Christless eternity, that, Lord, Thou hast given to Thy people a blood atonement, a pardon, eternal life. And Lord, we praise Thee for it. Grant grace tonight that all will seek Thee, that all will know that if they were to die tonight, they would be in Thy kingdom. Grant that grace, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.